Visual Snow, an Idaho 4 true crime novel by E.T. Bermuda. February 24th, 2022, Moscow, Idaho. She no longer blamed the mirror. Hannah Cleary looked herself up and down, taking in her pudgy cheeks, her flat chestnut hair. As she stood there, stirring in the silence of the soft colors of her dorm room, Hannah tried to hide the sides of her body with her arms. She longed for home, but even thoughts of returning to a better place weren't enough to pull her from the mirror. Hannah tried anyway. Heaven, her mother had said. The disaster that stood in for her mother's new vintage clothing store was anything but. Shortly before she had left for college, Hannah's mother had sacrificed her small life savings for the shop they all stood inside of. The mess of rolls and swatches of fabric promised to put her and her older brother Scott to work for at least a few days. Hell, Hannah now said to the mirror. Every night, after the University of Idaho's imposed freshman curfew, she was with her roommates. Life during this time was predictable. On the weekends, Hannah fastidiously tidied up the place while everyone else was out doing God knows what. In contrast, the weekdays saw each of the girls meeting in the living room to commit to a chore. Abby Diaz usually arrived in the dorm room last. Maria Vandenberg typically showed up moments ahead of Abby, but almost always Maddie Mogan was first. "Hey, bookworm," the girls sometimes said to Hannah. Other times it was, "Get lost in your library?" Hannah usually answered with a smile. It was true. Hannah worked at the college library and spent way too much time there. Maddie was the only other roommate who held a job. She had started work with one of her friends at the off-campus Mad Greek restaurant downtown the previous semester. Once on a holiday, when the Mad Greek was slow, Maddie had been allowed to go home early. The college library had been closed that same day. That was when Hannah found Maddie in the dorm room on her smartphone with someone. "Xana, we don't even know Ethan," she caught Maddie saying to the phone. Everyone at the University of Idaho had something planned for the holiday, and always the boys took up the opportunity to invite Maddie Mogan along. Hannah noted, however, that this time Maddie seemed more excited than unsure. Maddie closed her hand over the smartphone at the sight of Hannah, as if protecting the phone from her. "Yeah, just get me out of here," Maddie said in a low voice, "or else I'll be stuck with my weird-ass roommate all weekend." That was it. Hannah Cleary had decided then to take her own life. Later, after slogging through the rest of her homework, she would do it with sleeping pills. Looking back at herself in the mirror, Hannah played with her hair, growing to share her mother's love of it for a time, happy more so that her own life would dissolve with the swiftness of a mid-morning breeze. Hannah lowered her eyes as they filled with tears so thick she could only see the blurred outline of the small amber bottle set on the shelf beneath the mirror that held her pills. In a trance, she moved to thoughts of life. No one bats 1,000. Life doesn't even bat 1,000. She had always prayed she could. She supposed all of her classmates came closer to batting 1,000. Hannah hadn't anticipated that life for her would evolve into a migration, along with the lives of each girl in her dorm room, along with the rest of the students at the University of Idaho, along with every student in every university that ever existed. Thousands of kids destined for college soared out from a hole in the controlled structures of their childhood. They danced the chaotic ballet of migrating lives, collisions, navigational errors, so perfect as if they'd been rehearsing this flight for generations. With her eyes closed, Hannah could nearly feel the movement through the hairs of her own skin. As her mother drove her from Provo, Utah to Moscow, Idaho, Hannah recalled that she'd shut her eyes then too. She paid close attention to the vehicle's movement, so as to imagine that the world was instead of what the world actually was. A slow pressure nudged her left. She must have been rounding a mountain pass, a lurch downward, descending a steep slope. Hannah pretended to know these features of her mind's world as she passed through, but of course, she had only been playing a type of blind guessing game. She didn't really know. Finally, the slowing sensation of the vehicle, the dying of the engine. She believed she had reached her new life, caught up with three other girls that would move her the rest of the way to her end. Was the weight of her presence that much to bear for Maddie, Abby, and Maria as they checked and then rechecked their outfits in the mirror that they would be wearing for the night? So it was that she had become the unwanted roommate, drifting along with them on their shared voyage above the surface of the world. She'd enjoyed a brief fling in the form of a handsome army veteran, nearly 20 years her senior who'd suffered from PTSD, a man from Pullman named Brent Kopaka. He was good-looking, and good in bed, too, but Hannah grew unnerved with how threatening he could get. She believed she could change him, but in the end, that turned into another of her great failures. Hannah thought she heard a beating then, a deep, giant bell signaling the end of an hour, beating in her mind. She could no longer see herself in the mirror, which was good because she no longer blamed the mirror. Death will take care of any leftover blame, she figured as the bell continued. Hannah Cleary reached for the deadly bottle of pills, wolfed them down, her throat slowly clenching the swarm of bitter gray tablets, shorting their way into her neck like pennies as payment for her life. She fell to the floor, recalling the odd scent of oranges as the sound of her breathing came at her from across the room. Her bulging eyes stared up at the ceiling as sunlight traced the tears across her purple face and the foam that slipped from her mouth.